information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
A rumor. It didn't happen. I was scared. I thought that could change the tenor of this whole program. Somebody reported that one of our listeners and their children had made an appearance. See, I'm so shook up I can't even pronounce words right. Appearance. On Jerry Springer. It was a cameo. It wasn't anything. It took up two or three segments, but we explored it. Turned out to be false. It was not one of our listeners. They asked them, "Didn't Dr. Ray help you?" They said, "Who?" Ray Guarendi. Never heard of him. You don't know how relieved I was to be unknown. Good morning, West. Good afternoon, East. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi, holding strong on the Springer Guarantee. You listen to this program, any part of any segment, any syllable of any word, and we guarantee that your children and their children's children, as well as pretty much your immediate circle of family and friends and neighbors, and your child's ball team will not appear on Jerry Springer. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. Program is a call-in program. You call in. I listen. Notice I didn't say I listen patiently, because I do jump in. It is radio and not therapy. And we don't diagnose. We don't analyze. Oh, yeah, I can sit and listen to you for an hour straight. In counseling, nod my head. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. I see. Oh. I don't even do that in counseling, to tell you the truth, okay? I remember one of my favorite studies published was of what do people really want from a counselor? They want direct guidance. They don't want somebody to sit and reflect feelings necessarily, nodding and letting them talk and vent. They want somebody to give some good ideas, which is what throws me for a loop, because it's much easier just to go, mm-hmm, oh, I see, yes. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Delighted to have you here on The Doctor Is In. Well, I'm the doctor, okay? I'm the guy. PhD. Post-hole digger. PhD. Permanent head damage. I am Italian. I worked one summer. It was a summer after I'd gotten my master's degree. With a cement crew. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. My dad used to tease me. Ray, you're a real Italian now. You're the cement crew. Hey, it's a stereotype, it's a cliche, but I'll tell you, every guy on our crew was Italian. Yeah, that's right. We had Guarendi, we had Dima, we had Minostra, we had, what was his name? Joe Dima, Tony. Anyway, all Italians. It was great. Okay, what else I got to tell you? I had an interesting experience. I returned a call of a person who had called me. Got the answering machine. No, it didn't say, "Hi, you've reached the Smiths. We're not here right now, but leave your name and number, and we'll be glad to get back with you. No, that's not what it said. It said this. Bye. There is no Smith and Halton. Use the MS, put the house in the MS, and do Tibbins back the number, and we'll call you the VF7. Now, about the only thing I understood in that message was the beep. When it went, I thought, oh, I know that. That means I'm supposed to say something. I got that part of it. Well, the other part of it, I had no idea, sort of, kind of, what the kid was saying. Now, we do this, don't we? We love our children. And when we're first-time parents, we're bonkers. Every person who comes in the house, did I show you the video? He puked last night. And it's a different color. It's a different color than the one I showed you last week. Did I show you that? I've got pictures of it. If you just want to have some pictures, I made some 8x10 glossies. We do this. Somebody comes over, holding the child. Where's your nose? Oh, where's your eyes? What's a doggy do? No, that's a cow. What's a doggy do? No, that's a horsey. What's a doggy do? No, that's a piggy. He knows these. I mean, we did them yesterday. He knows them. We'll try it again. I'll call you tomorrow. I did this. I thought every burp that my kid had was important to somebody. That was the first kid. Maybe the second. By the time we got down to 8, 9, and 10 kids, people would come over and say, where's your son Peter? He's the ninth one. And I'd say, who? Peter. What's his last name? Guarendi. Peter Guarendi. It sounds familiar. Then I would turn to my wife and say, honey, do we have a Peter Guarendi living here? Yeah, he's your son. Really? How old is he? 9? Get out! What grade's he in? 3rd? How did I miss kindergarten, 1st, and 2nd grade? My children are all blessings through adoption. My wife put together these sweet little adoption books, talking about a mommy and a daddy who wanted to adopt. Showed a picture of us when we were younger. I told her to use my picture when I was 17. I looked a lot better then. Didn't have a mustache. And they're beautiful pictures. These things are beautiful. They have embossed covers. They have a foreword by Bill Cosby, Mother Teresa. They have high-quality graphics. The last adoption books of our younger children, they're on 3x5 note cards. Usually one. Forwards written by an older sibling. The illustrations are stick figures. And pretty much, I think the last two kids shared the same note card. And don't think they don't notice this. They accuse you of not loving them. And I look and say to them, at least we haven't used your voice on our answering machine. So that when people call our house, they don't have to wade through, and I'm in the Grandies. And this is fun, and you, Dr. A, and this is the call, this is... And they don't hear Mom's voice in the background giving you instructions. Say hi. Hi. Say, we're not home. in a home for the Grundys. Tell them we'll call them back. You call us back. No. Tell them we'll call them back. Them back. They have a nice back. No. Hi, this is the Grundys. We're not home right now, but our children are. They're the ones leaving the messages. I don't know. I think there's a certain humility that comes with having not only a child, because a child can bring out the snottiness in you. Child can be the main reason why you go to confession half the time. But having more than one. Because then you see the alteration of your head as you move through parenthood. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call to get onto the program. Terry, when we come back, you are first up with a... That's a heavy-hitting question. And those of you who are going to leave during this break, don't say, I didn't tell you. You could miss something pretty good from Terry.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. As American culture grows more confused about the nature of the human person, the nature of happiness, the good life, the value of children, and what it means to live a fulfilling life, Catholics have a great opportunity to chart a new course. But it won't be for America first. It'll first of all happen for the church. Because if we build the church, we will bless the nation. We're having a conference. This coming Saturday, I want you there. It's 9 to 5 at the Grand Ballroom of the Student Center at Eastern Michigan University. Father Frank Pavone will be there. Deal Hudson, Gerard Bradley from the University of Notre Dame Law School, Dick Thompson, Monica Miller, Teresa Tomeo. We're going to have lots of people there. So I'd like to see you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net for more information. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Tickets are $40 in advance. Lunch will be provided. But we have to hear from you now because we're getting so close. It looks as though we're going to have at least 600 people there. We'd love to see more. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Or call 734-358-9876.
All priests, deacons, and seminarians are invited to a special Year of Faith retreat at Ave Maria University in sunny Southwest Florida. Join clergy from around the country January 14th through the 16th for daily mass, dynamic speakers, and restful contemplation. The cost is $150 and includes a registration fee and meals. Visit avemaria.edu and look under News and Events for more information. Or call 239-348-4724. 239-348-4724.
You know what I've learned as a shrink? I have learned that if an argument starts with, what did you mean by that? It is not going to end with, oh, thank you. Now I know what you mean by that. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday. Myself, generally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Colleen Kelly Mass, Mondays and Fridays. 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We are heard in Australia, so I've been working on my Australian. I really have. You gotta make people feel like linguistically they're part of the program. Let me try out. I've got like 6 weeks of Australian language instruction. Hello. How am I doing? So far, pretty good. All right. what else we got? Oh, I want to talk to Terry, who is a female, calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Or Terry's question is, would someone, a woman, who was sexually abused as a little child, are they more likely to become a perpetrator, an offender, themselves? Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Is that your personal situation?
I know of somebody.
Okay.
I do know someone.
The answer is complex, but let me put some context to it. I think a lot of it would depend upon what other turbulence occurred in the person's life. First of all, women as a group offend less than men. So that's one protective factor. Another one is, let's say that this person was little. Was it little, or did it occur over several years?
I really don't know, okay. But I do believe that she was little. I do believe she was little, but I do not know how many times or how long it was carried on.
Does she have a memory of it?
Yes.
Okay. Is she personally worried about this?
We never talked about that.
Okay.
I don't know.
The short answer would be that in and of itself isn't going to automatically make her an offender. Okay, that's a short answer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I'm not sure on the exact statistics of this, but probably the majority of people who are victims don't go on to become abusers. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, a lot of it really depends upon the overall context that she was raised in. For example, if she was raised in a situation where this abuse occurred, and also there was minimum stability in the family, that as she grew through adolescence, there were an awful lot of social, emotional, moral issues. She struggled with life, if you will. Then you have a person who is more emotionally fragile. You have someone who may not have a strong moral base inculcated. And that could raise the scenario where she herself makes bad judgments as an adult. Okay, but if you have a situation where this abuse occurred, and it was reasonably well dealt with, that she comes from a family who loved her, and that she navigated life, then probably more people will, if I threw the phone lines open, many people would call and say, yes, that happened to me when I was little, and I am perfectly fine from a sexually acting out standpoint. All right, so I guess short answer is, need to know the context. Long answer is probably likely not. Okay?
Okay. All righty. Well, you know, she has had a turbulent childhood and, you know, was in foster care and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So,
women still tend to abuse less than men.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew the exact stats. I think it's significantly less.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah, very much. It's not automatic.
Okay, great.
All right.
Okay.
And by the way, I've heard some horrific stats that, for example, one in, and again, these things are always questionable because you have to ask, where did they get the statistics? What was the survey? Was this just a theoretical estimate? But the one I heard was one in three women were sexually misused, molested, abused as children.
Wow.
Now that's a horrific stat. All right, it's way up there. And clearly, if that's true, one in three women are not abusers.
Right.
You know.
Right. Okay.
Well, thank you, Terry, for your concern about her, and maybe you can talk with her and, if possible, put her mind to rest. You know what I notice happens with folks who come into my office with this kind of concern? they worry that this kind of history is somehow going to take over their behavior. And that against their will, they're going to do something like this. Simply because they are determined, and I don't mean determined in their own mind, but they are determined by situation that this is going to happen. Okay, and I try to calm them down. I try to basically say, no. You're not a robot. It isn't automatic. You're not just going to become a sexual offender because that happened to you. Thanks, Terry.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Ray.
You're welcome, dear.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. The idea that we will reiterate what happened to us as kids, as adolescents, or even as young adults, say, for example, if we had a quote-unquote failed marriage because we married someone who was an alcoholic, that we will continue to repeat the pattern. The next person I meet is going to be an alcoholic too. Or I'm going to offend in the same way I offended. Or if my parents acted ABC, I'm going to act ABC. This is a frightening idea that in a lot of respects has been promulgated by theoretical ideas thrown out by mental health types. Truth is, yes, depending upon our histories, there may be a raised chance that we're going to act certain ways. It is not automatic. And most certainly, those of you who have a religious conversion, those of you who have come to the faith as adults, that is a powerful factor in helping you leave your old life behind. Yeah, your personality is going to be the same, and a lot of your traits and your foibles and weaknesses are going to follow you. But it does not mean that isn't a huge insulating factor against you redoing the stuff that was done to you. All right, you got to lay that one down. Christine is calling from Southern California. Hi, Christine.
Well,
hey, Christine, you're on the air. Be careful what you say.
Okay, great.
Hey, thanks for calling, dear.
Okay, I just switched the radio off so I could hear you. Did you summarize already my question, or do I need to state my question?
You are a regular listener because you know I do that. Bless your heart. I didn't summarize. What I have is that your parish is going through some difficult times. There's some bad publicity here. And you're wondering, how can we heal some of the faith community, huh?
Yes.
Can you say what happened?
Well, it's all over the news, unfortunately. The secular media is really picking it up and running with it to the worst that they possibly can.
Financial or sexual?
What was that?
Financial or sexual?
Really, neither.
Really?
There was, the principal has an issue with a restraining order against somebody, and it caused a lot of safety concerns from parents, and
this is through the school.
This is through the school.
Oh, okay.
And it's affecting the parish, and it's a parish school,
mm-hmm.
So you know it's one faith community, and it's always been a very good community. There's always been a lot of unity, and because of this, there's a lot of disunity. People taking sides, a lot of anger, people not acting very Christian. And I think that, when the Lord permits things like this to happen, I know that good can come out of it. And this is a year of faith. And I'm trying to figure out, gee, Lord, how can we make good come of this? How can a faith community, a parish, be pulled back together and brought back into unity? The only idea I have was maybe a novena. As a faith community, we could pray a novena. And so I thought, gee, well, why don't I call the show and ask an expert who might have a good idea? So here I am.
Well, you know, you're really on safe ground when somebody says, pray about it. That's a no-brainer, okay? And I certainly can say that and make me sound smart and holy at the same time, you know. However, I think for you, too, you're saying, is there anything personally I can do to smooth over the little chasms that are forming over this issue because everybody's got an opinion? I want to address one thing that you said. I'm going to do it after the hard break here. But you said people are not acting very Christian about this. And we've always been kind of a tight faith community. So you hold on. I'll see if I can throw some thoughts your way on that one. And then we'll talk a little bit about what you might do to, well, close up some of the gaps between folks and their emotional connections. It's Dr. Ray, flinging around psychoterms.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
I wonder how the wise men explained their journey. It takes courage and wisdom to follow a star, and the wise still follow their star during life's journey. And the star of your life is Jesus. And go, be a star to someone else by what you do and what you say. Who was born at Bethlehem? Today's gospel tells us that. It tells of a miracle Jesus did when he started preaching. He made his disciples get into a boat and go across the lake to Bethesda before him while he dismissed the crowd. And after he'd taken leave of them, he went up into the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he saw they were making very little headway, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it's I. Have no fear." I think probably what he actually said was more like, "Don't worry, it's only me." And then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were completely amazed. Storms didn't cease just like that. So what are you afraid of? What are your fears? Jesus wanted to take them away. What storms do you have in your life that terrify you? Ask Jesus to calm them. Turn to him in this coming year and ask him to bless you in the ways that you need. Now, I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach me with your reaction on 734-930-3257, and I enjoy hearing from you. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you too can be more fully alive.
This is no rinky-dink shrink we're dealing with here. Although I can't do shrinking on the program, we can talk, put our heads together. Maybe come up with a few ideas or thoughts or notions you can accept, reject, neglect, suspect. This is Dr. Ray Grandy here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In. My website's drray.com, drray.com. This program is produced by Ave Maria Radio Communications. I am talking to Christine. She's calling from Southern California. Her parish school had kind of an ugly incident that the secular media grabbed hold of and is just, of course, running with. The particulars are that apparently one of the parents of a kid got kind of unruly, and the administrator or someone in authority had to put a restraining order on this person. And, of course, I'm sure that this person is not happy about that. and may be the source of the information going out to the press. Who knows? And Christine says, you know, Dr. A, we had a tight-knit, what appeared to be a tight-knit parish community. Now there's cracks in the relationships. And she also said, you know, what can I do personally? I mean, I intend to pray, but what else could I possibly do to help heal this? Now, Christine, did I say anything wrong in my summary?
A little bit, but you were pretty right on. What you said wrong I don't think really matters because the restraining order is against somebody outside of the parish. But back to parents or not parents, just folks in the parish, and I'm trying intentionally not to point fingers, but just acting unchristian and really saying very harsh and divisive doing things that we really got to come back to the Lord in confession and confess and
here
how
is,
we pull back together and go come back to faith.
Here's something that might give you a little peace. The reality is, it is much easier to be Christ-like when the situation doesn't get ugly. When the situation becomes turbulent and you have people having strong emotions, strong opinions about it, it's much harder for them to be Christ-like. They can get ugly. And you say, gee, this is a surprise. I never saw this side of them before. Why are they acting this way? This is not how Christians should act. Well, you're absolutely correct. The problem is the stronger test of being a Christian comes from how you do deal with situations that are ugly or stressful or mean-spirited or full of strong opinions. So in that sense, I would say take some peace in recognizing that, sadly, the reality is that people are capable of acting very badly in situations that really test their Christianity. All right? We're all like that. And it's a good thing God's merciful. Now, that said, you might go to the person who had to issue the restraining order. Sit down with them, because they're getting battered. You know that. Sit down with them and say, what can I do to help you? You know, as a parent of this school, what can I do? Do you want me to be part of a meeting? Want me to have a meeting where we get together and just kind of try to soothe it over? Do you want to speak on any of these matters that confidentiality is not a problem? Do you want me to write a letter for the bulletin and basically make an observation that we're not acting like followers of Christ here and some of the things we're saying and doing and accusations when all the facts are not known? Would that person, I'm assuming it's somebody in authority, welcome that, you think?
Possibly.
All right. See what you can do. And if nothing else, nothing else comes of it, that person will at least look at you and say, How nice that somebody was concerned enough about the situation I was in to show support. And even if the authority overreacted, really, there really wasn't a need for a restraining order or whatever, you judge whether they did it on purpose. In other words, whether this is a nasty person who just likes to throw his or her weight around, or they were scared and they did what they thought was best, and maybe it didn't work out quite so well. Looking back with hindsight, we could have said, probably didn't need the restraining order. All that did is inflame things. But again, so much of what people do is not malicious. It's just they're making a judgment on the basis of what they think and know at the time. And then you look back and go, that didn't work. So help that person out if you can, Christine. And maybe, but before you do anything of a global nature, I would talk to that person first. That person may say, no, it's okay. No. I think it's just going to slowly die out, and if we continue to meet about it or talk about it, it'll just keep it alive. Good luck to you, sweetheart. Thanks for caring so much. Next time I get myself in trouble, I'm calling you. I'm going to say, Christine, pick up the pieces of the dumb things that I just did. And you'll say, Dr. Ray, that would keep several people busy. Bless you, dear. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay. Is it disappointing when your impression of folks as Christians, as followers of Christ, is cracked a little bit? You see them doing something that certainly runs absolutely perpendicular to what they profess. Well, sure, it does shake you up. The problem is, when you run into that, I am forced to think, gee, I wonder how often I do that, and somebody looks at me and says, yeah, that guy calls himself a Christian. That guy, the guy acts like Mr. Good Guy. Yeah. I don't know. I hope it's not as much as I think it is. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get onto the program. Delighted to have you here. Oh, by the way, do I have time? Yeah, I got time. EWTN Radio Network, 3 more new affiliates, all in Louisiana. KLFT 90.5 FM, now serving the Kaplan, Lafayette, Louisiana area. Okay, I don't have time. I'm going to say it first as soon as I get back, because we got 3 new affiliates in Louisiana, and is this cool or what? And New Orleans down there, this is kind of neat. Lafayette, the big areas. I'll give you the details when we come back. This is Dr. Ray.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, this is Father Mark Toops with another moment in prayer. For many of us, prayer can be a source of frustration as we struggle to calm our minds and even find the time to pray. In our busy lives, prayer is seen as a luxury, when in reality, it's at the foundation of a healthy spiritual life. The good news is you can overcome your difficulties in prayer, and it's easier than you might think. Oremus, A Guide to Catholic Prayer, is a new program that teaches the essentials of an effective and fruitful prayer life. Whether you are new to prayer or wish to enrich your current prayer life, this study can help you with the simple yet profound steps of Catholic prayer. Information about the series can be found at our website, ascensionpress.com. While there, you can view video clips and learn how you can review the program. That's ascensionpress.com. God bless you.
Do you want a family physician who respects the inherent dignity of every human person of any age? Do you want your physician to respect parents as the primary educators of their children and not the secular culture? Sacred Heart Medical Center is a medical practice that is Christ-centered, family-oriented, and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. With locations in Livonia and Brighton, learn more today by calling 734-338-0600. That's 734-338-0600 or at sacredheartmedical.org.
talking about nine foods that reduce stress. I showed those to my wife because, we struggle a little bit with her cooking. All right, I probably shouldn't say this, but at our house we pray after we eat. Yeah. Yeah, we got the only dog that begs for Alka-Seltzer. Last year we left dental floss around the kitchen. The roaches hang themselves. Flies chipped in to take up a collection to fix the screen door. No, she's a good cook. I'm just having fun. 877-573-7825. Now I got to say what I was so rudely interrupted by, the heartbreak music. The EWTN radio network now has three more affiliate stations, and they're in Louisiana, all of them. KLFT 90.5 FM serves the Kaplan, Lafayette, Louisiana communities. Launched on December 12th, Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Congrats to Christine Fouque and the team at Christ Our King Communications. Way to go, guys. How cool is that? Also, WQNO, Queen of New Orleans. Heard on 690 AM and 104.9 FM. Serving all. Am I pronouncing this right? Is it New Orleans or New Orleans? You can tell the locals. It officially launched on Christmas Day. Congrats to David Dawson, everybody involved with Catholic Community Radio. They're adding to their original station in Baton Rouge, WPYR. By the way, that is an old Trivial Pursuit question. What city in the U.S. names means red stick? Doesn't Baton Rouge just sound so much cooler than, yeah, where are you from? Ah, red stick. So all the new listeners joining us on KLFT 90.5 FM in the Kaplan Lafayette, Louisiana areas, and in New Orleans, WQNO 690 AM 104.9 FM. Three more stations, part of the EWTN radio family, kicks my listening audience up to 117. Not bad, considering we have well over now 200 affiliates. Leanne is calling from Washington. She says, okay, Dr. Roy Gnudi, or whatever your name is, do you think I have an obligation as a Christian to try and make peace with my sisters? That's plural, sisters. Hi, Leanne.
Hi there, Dr. Ray.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. It's actually only one sister.
Oh, good. That makes the question a lot easier.
Yeah. You know. If it was sisters, I think I would be so far gone that I probably wouldn't be calling you. So.
Honey, if it was sisters, you got to look at yourself.
That's right. Okay, so I don't know quite how to condense this story into I'm going to do my best, because I really just kind of, I've had two bad dreams about it, which in my world is a very bad sign that something is not settled within myself.
Well, you don't have to settle the story down. I'll interrupt you and summarize it when I think you've gone on long enough.
Okay. So she was here at Christmas time. We invited her. My sweet husband extended an invitation to her after last year. She called the day of the dinner she was supposed to have and decided not to come because she was so angry. So I kind of just let that go. Christmas went on. This year Christmas came. We invited her and her husband and her little girl. They came, but she was very, very cold and didn't look like she was having any fun at all. And as soon as the plum pudding was served, she got up and said, we need to go, and she left.
Did you cook that plum pudding?
Yeah. Well,
see,
my husband and my little girl did. And
maybe
some
of those other people left, too. That plum pudding, maybe I ought to teach you a lesson about that. Go buy plum pudding next time.
It was so delicious, Dr.
All right, so the history is, my dear, she's not necessarily been all that easy to get along with. She gets upset about things, and half the time you don't even know what it is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Has it been this way for a long time?
It has been like this for a very long time. She's 8 years older than me. She had a very strange relationship with my father. As soon as college came around, she kind of just hit the road, and I was just little when she left. And my mom, there had already been a divorce in the family, so my mom had left, and my dad was raising the two of us. And I think she kind of felt a lot of obligation to kind of be my, you know, mother.
Wait a minute. Are you, in dad's eyes, the nicer sister?
Well, Dad has passed away. Dad has been gone 7 years, which is probably another factor in this whole relationship.
Okay,
of our thing.
Because there was some connection via Dad. She felt maybe some obligation, but now that Dad's gone, she can kind of decide she doesn't like you and there's things about you she just doesn't care about,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The original question, do you have an obligation? Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, in the sense that you're not going to do what she does. You're not going to inflame the situation. You were awful sweet to invite her over. Some people wouldn't have after what happened last time, but you did. Hey, come on over. We got plum pudding. You're going to love my plum pudding. It is a recipe to die for. Okay, you got that. For whatever the reason, you don't even know what this is. She got some kind of resentment towards you that's just brewing in there. Who knows how she's interpreting it? I mean, I suppose you could approach her and ask her if you want to take that chance. The other thing is, if she makes it clear, I don't want to have a relationship with you, really. I don't feel close to you. Okay. Then you're not obligated to continue to ushy-gushy reach out and get slapped.
Right.
You are doing good things. You invited her to the house. You have let it be known your door is open. If you want to take the big, tough step further, you can go sit down with her and say, you know, I don't understand. Have I done...
Okay, so that's kind of where I am right now.
Okay. Have I done things to offend you?
Yeah, so at the end of last Christmas, when she had kind of thrown her adult fit and
hissy
not
fit.
Come to Christmas dinner.
You.
Yes, she had not come to dinner. She took it upon herself to write me this letter.
Detailing everything's wrong with you.
It wasn't really a that. It was kind of more just a barf of a bunch of her feelings, which, you know, fair enough. People
well,
have to get
hey,
their
wait a minute
out.
Now. A barf of all of her feelings is basically she's saying, I don't like this, I don't like that, I feel this way, I feel that way, you do this, you do that, I react this way, I react that way, right?
Except that it was all, it didn't have, like, anything, like it didn't say anything concrete that I had done. All it said, basically, was that I am going to try and accept that this is our new reality okay. of a relationship.
All right, well, do this. I gotta go to break. Do this.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to her, you say, go there with a letter in your hand. Say, you know what, can you put some specifics to this? Can you tell me what it is about me? Can you help me out here? I want to hear it. And then you got to sort through how much of it is just nonsense, how much of it is just coming from her own insecurities, her own resentments that she's built up over the years over nothing, and how much of it is, okay, yeah, I do that. I've done that. Yeah,
right,
I did that.
Right.
Okay. And
that's
you tell
the part
her,
that I'm concerned about.
I know, and that takes a lot of guts. And you tell her, Leanne, you say, I just want to apologize for anything I've done that was hurtful and offensive. And if I didn't realize it, I'm sorry. Good luck to you, sweetheart. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. This is Dr. Ray. By the way, when you do want to apologize to people, you can do it like the politicians. You can just go, yes, mistakes were made. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory. connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Why are parents so nervous nowadays about being parents? I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I will tell you part of the reason is me, the experts. We've got you thinking, what do you know? You're just a mom. You can stumble your way along. Hopefully you won't mess it up too bad. But if you want to be a 1990s kind of on top of things, psychological cutting edge father or mother, you got to be state certified, congressionally mandated, child development rearing, psychomental, international on Oprah specialist. Look what we have done. We have made you overthink, overanalyze, overinterpret, second guess. Now, did I handle that right? Is that what I should have said? Was that an I message or was that a you message? Should I have used a natural consequence there or a logical consequence? Is it 1 minute in the timeout chair for every year of age or 1 year for every minute of age? I get that one so confused. How can you know if you're being psychologically correct? Can you go out and take a poll of 150 experts every time you make a move? Have you noticed we can't agree? You got to consult the consummate expert, your mother-in-law. If you constantly are second-guessing your decisions every step of the way to match them for some book in the sky that says this is the psychologically right way to raise children, you will turn this into a long process of applying the formulas and not the relationship of love and discipline that God meant it to be. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Are in. The program is rated the lowest percent of any psychobabble. Not only on Catholic radio, but all radio. 1.29% psychobabble. Some might say, well, Dr. Ray, you still have psychobabble. No. That's like verbal clutter. If I say, yeah, I was listening to that old song by Sonny and Cher, well, that share is picked up a psychobabble, as in, I want to share something with you. See, so there's certain words that they haven't really made the equipment, the monitoring equipment, sophisticated enough. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Scott is calling Guadalupe Radio, Dallas, Texas. Hey, Scott, good Lord permitting, I'm going to be down there in Dallas on February 8th.
I thought it was April.
There may be two of them. One of them is
right.
One of them's Plano, Texas, right?
I thought that was in April.
That's in April, but got one coming up. I'll get you all the details on it, but it's February 8th.
Okay.
Coming in.
Well, so anyway, I know you got a lot of callers, but I'll get right to the point, okay?
Okay.
Hey, buddy, I got a bone to pick with you. Hey, when I was a kid, I did some not so great stuff. Anyway, I delivered papers, and I came to the door, and the lady that I did it to said, so I got a bone to pick with you. Here it is. I'll be brief, and I get a lot of callers. You know, I in my family, I know there's no snow anymore, but in my family, I'm pretty much the only faithful, prayerful, practicing Catholic. So I go home, and, you know, we're a loving family. We have a good time. And I heard you say, I've heard you say that when you go home for Christmas, none of your family wants to come and visit you because you're a zealot and all you do is preach at it. Well, that's not the way it is in my family. Go ahead, defend yourself.
Wait a minute. Who's a zealot? Me?
No. Well, I'm telling you, if I was a zealot and I told them they're all, you know, going to Gehenna because they weren't practicing Catholics and my niece lives with her boyfriend, you know, I mean,
okay.
How do you be a really strong, faithful, prayerful, practicing Catholic and not alienate your family? You said, oh, well, you know, when you go home, no one wants to come and visit you because you're a zealot and they don't want to come visit you.
But now, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. Let me clarify. I would never say anything like that. What I probably said was, don't be a zealot. Don't preach. That's at least one thing you cannot do that'll help. Now, that in no way implies that they're going to treat you with admiration and respect because you are a faithful follower. No, that doesn't mean that. They could not like you anyway simply because you are a religious person. Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. What I would say is this. It is incumbent upon anybody who says, you know, I'm the only one in my family who really tries to take the faith seriously. Okay, that puts us in a bit of an obligatory bind, which is now I've got to be sweeter, nicer, kinder, more loving, more tolerant, whatever, when I'm around them. I don't fire back a retort if they shoot off some opinion that meant to put me down. So that, like St. Paul says, you know, heap coals upon their head by not responding like they do. What I'm saying is, for us, I don't know all the reasons why your family doesn't relate to you because you're Catholic. However, for us, you would do well to show them that the first thing about your Catholic faith is that it just simply makes you a better person and that you are not those things that they accuse you of. Now, they could not like your moral stance on things. They could not like the fact that you want to say blessings before meal to yourself. Okay, they don't like that. All right. But that's their intolerance. I've always said to folks, if someone is upset at you or turned off by your faith, make sure it's because it's within them and not something you're doing. But that's a good point. Thanks, Scott. Kathy, you call back. You'll be first up, all right? I'm done. That's it. I got to go. Doctor is in, is out. But good Lord permitting, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Dr. Ray Rennie. Thank you, Ann Krucek, and all you folks who have called and made the shelter. Walk with God. You got kids? Hold them tight by the hand. You got a dog? Well, hold on to that leash. Dr. Ray, see you.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Would you like a copy of this program? If you missed a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
While hanging out with some of my Christ-centered friends, we started talking about some of our favorite Bible quotes. One of mine comes from Matthew. Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." It is the reason that in each and every day I give thanks to God for all that He has gifted me, starting with the greatest gift of all, my daughter. That Bible verse also reminds me of the importance of surrendering. When things are out of my control, I do my best to let go and let God take over. That alone reminds me of another favorite verse, although not in the Bible. It's a prayer I often recite. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Jesus communicated so many powerful messages to us. Today, His words continue to guide us through life on earth because He is the way, the truth, and the life. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
Christopher Minnick, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Frank Sweeney. Almost 20 years ago, Ohio ophthalmologist Bill Brinker, his wife, and some friends created Eye Care International. The ministry is made up of Catholics, Protestants, and Jews. According to an article in the newspaper Episcopal